It is 5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Wednesday, January 7, on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. Filling in for Ashton O'Hara, I'm Jake Dye. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, a judge has ordered the state to pay more than $500,000 as a result of a lawsuit over a controversial predator control program in southwest Alaska. But first, President Trump is trying to convince oil companies to invest billions of dollars in Venezuela's oil industry to boost production from that company. If he succeeds, industry analyst Brad Keithley foresees two ways it might impact Alaska's oil production. One is competition for capital.
If Venezuela starts attracting additional investment dollars, you can see a scenario where Alaska might get fewer investment dollars than it otherwise would have in the absence of the opportunities in Venezuela.
Keithley emphasized that any impact would be years in the future. He says it's not going to affect ongoing Alaska developments like Willow, ConocoPhillips' Big Arctic project, or Pikka, where Santos is expected to begin production early this year. But Keithley says if Venezuela has a stable government, he expects Conoco would consider returning to that country.
And there is only so many investment dollars available for oil in the world.
ConocoPhillips has told news outlets that it's premature to speculate on where it might invest, but that it's monitoring developments in Venezuela. Another impact of concern to Alaska is on oil prices. Venezuela is said to have the largest known oil reserves in the world. If Venezuelan oil floods the market, prices would plummet. But Keithley says it's not as simple as that.
Even if Venezuela goes back to 2.5 million barrels a day in 10 or 15 years, you can't absolutely say, well, that's gonna degrade price, because you don't know what OPEC's response to that's going to be.
The Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries strives to maintain prices. Keithley says OPEC could offset the addition of Venezuelan oil by cutting production from other parts of the world. Some Alaska Airlines passengers were hit with surprising bills for checked baggage that used to fly for free within the state. As KYUK's Evan Erickson reports, the company says it's working quickly to reverse an issue with its Club 49 program that has affected a baggage benefit valuable to many rural residents.
Bethel resident Shane Iverson says he was shocked last weekend when he stepped up to the Alaska Airlines counter at the Anchorage Airport to check in for the flight home.
I had two kids. We each had three items to check in, so 9 items. So yeah, I was sitting there with a ton of boxes and luggage when they told me they were going to have to charge me for most of it.
For a long time, Alaska Airlines has had a policy of allowing 3 free checked bags per person within the state. Iverson says maxing out on luggage is something a lot of Bethel residents do.
That's kind of part of the equation of your trip. If you can afford to fly in as well, at least you're going to, you know, get a little savings on your supplies that you can bring back and the variety of things you can find.
That policy used to apply to anyone flying wholly within Alaska. But in October, Alaska Airlines announced it would soon be limited to Alaska residents enrolled in its Club 49 loyalty program. For Iverson, the change seemed inconsequential. He's a resident, and he's been a member of the free loyalty program since it launched in 2011. But when he checked in on his phone the night before flying, the app showed he would be charged hundreds of dollars in baggage fees.
So I was like, it's probably just a computer snafu, pretty understandable. I'll just go early because probably other people are going to be dealing with this too.
Iverson says he was initially told that he would need to re-enroll in Club 49 and that it would take a week or more to process. But after some back and forth, he says a ticket agent agreed to waive the fees. But he says he's still not sure what happened. In an emailed statement on Monday, Alaska Airlines spokesperson Tim Thompson confirmed that some but not all Club 49 members have been incorrectly charged bag fees since a new baggage policy went into effect on January 3rd. Current Club 49 members do not need to re-enroll in the program. Thompson says the problem may be resolved as early as Wednesday. Meanwhile, customers can get bag fees waived at ticket counters by showing they have Club 49 status in the mobile app or by showing proof of Alaska residency. Club 49 members who were incorrectly charged bag fees should contact customer service for assistance. Iverson says he has been disappointed to find that other Bethel residents affected by the error also had little idea of what to make of it.
Who's ever in charge of communicating really needs to do a better job, because in rural Alaska, we follow this closely. It really affects our lives.
Meanwhile, Alaska Airlines' new baggage policy means non-Club 49 members without other special statuses are on the hook for new fees. According to reporting by KNOM, non-members without an Atmos Rewards credit card or elite status now need to pay at least $230 to check three bags within Alaska. On top of the three free bags, Club 49 membership offers two free checked bags for flights to and from Alaska. You can confirm enrollment in Club 49 online by opening your profile drop-down menu, clicking Account Overview, and navigating to Membership Card. On the mobile app, click the Account tab and scroll down to Atmos Rewards and Member Card. In Bethel, I'm Evan Erickson.
A note to listeners, Shane Iverson is KYUK's former general manager. And finally, a judge recently ordered the state to pay more than $500,000 in a lawsuit over a controversial predator control program in Southwest Alaska. The Department of Fish and Game program involved shooting bears from aircraft in an effort to reduce the predator population and boost the Mulchatna caribou herd, which is important to subsistence hunters in the region. The Alaska Wildlife Alliance sued in 2023, and on December 31st, a Superior Court judge ordered the state to pay up. Anchorage Daily News reporter Zachariah Hughes wrote about the decision and says it looks like the state will continue to pursue so-called intensive management of predators in the region.
In the case of the Mulchatna program, the state since 2023 has sent aerial teams in spotter planes and a helicopter and targeted bears, shot bears from the helicopters to remove them. In the state's telling, this is a program that's really designed to protect and boost the Mulchatna caribou herd in the region. That's a herd that's been really flagging for many years now. And the first year, they took out more than 90 bears. The second year, it was in the 80s. The third year, a court injunction was issued, and that halted the predator control program after about 3 days. But altogether, we're talking about just shy of 200 bears from that region of Southwest Alaska.
The Alaska Wildlife Alliance's lawsuit is not just, you know, about the science of it or, you know, whether or not predator control should happen. But the part that they won on, right, is about that public notice. Tell me more about that.
Well, this was decided in the spring, back earlier in 2025. The lawsuit was filed, I believe, in 2023. And these things take a while to wind their way through. But it was not really about the, you know, is predator control good or bad? Is this, you know, a worthwhile action? It was more about the Board of Game and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, according to the plaintiffs, did not public notice this in a way that is statutorily required. They didn't give the public enough time to weigh in on this. It was a rushed process. And two different Superior Court judges sided with them and said, they're right. This was not adequately noticed. The state got in a little bit of hot water because they said, okay, well, that rule's not valid. But they then quickly passed an emergency order that basically did the same thing. They decided that that was sufficient legal cover to launch the third season going after bears in 2025. And that's what led to a kind of hasty injunction.
Gotcha. And so, I mean, what's the state's position on this going forward? I guess, from reading your story, it sounds like, is it just a case of they've maybe tied up the loose ends that this lawsuit brought up and they feel like they're okay to go forward?
So as far as I know, the state feels like it does have authorization. It does have a legal recourse to go and do the full bear cull in the Southwest Alaska around the Mulchatna herd's calving ground again for a fourth season. But we'll see. The lawsuit that's in state court, there could be a ruling in that before May when the program is set to launch. But I believe the state is proceeding as they did last year, as if this is going to happen.
And then just last question, Zach, you reached out to the Department of Law. Like you said, they defend state agencies in this kind of litigation. What kind of response did you get there?
I got a very short response from the state quite late after the story had been published. I have not heard the state has not vigorously defended these to me. And in these instances, I should say, on the Mulchatna Predator Control Program, the State Department of Law has been pretty assertive in stating its point, or the Department of Fish and Game's point of view through press releases. But in these latest instances, there was not a lot of comment offered on the litigation and the state paying attorneys' fees and costs.
That's all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Liz Ruskin in Washington, D.C., Evan Erickson in Bethel, and Casey Grove in Anchorage. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Jake Dye. Have a great night. Start the new year with the Kenai Community Library. Connect with others through book clubs, writer's support group, or video game fun. Learn a new skill with a cooking class or craft time. Discover with playtime and Steam Studio. Grow through story time or gentle yoga. All are welcome to connect, learn, discover, and grow at the Kenai Community Library. Visit them today. Check out kenai.librarycalendar.com or call 907-283-4378 for more information.